about seven gifts of the Holy Ghost. We're reading about them as we pray the Novena to the Holy Ghost. By the way, let us remember, Novena is 9 days of prayer, and we get this concept of Novena from the Acts of the Apostles, that the Apostles and Our Lady prayed for 9 days before the Feast of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Ghost. So in like manner, as we pray the Novena to the Holy Ghost for the Feast of Pentecost, this is the very first Novena ever made by the Apostles and Our Lady themselves before the very first Feast of Pentecost. Now when we think of Pentecost, we know that in the Old Testament there was a feast called Pentecost. And how providential it was that Jews from all over the world were gathered together in Jerusalem at the very time that the Holy Ghost descended upon Our Lady and the Apostles. They're all gathered together, and then when they heard St. Peter preaching, and obviously this was the hand of God, these men are Galileans, how can we all understand them in our own languages? And in the Acts of the Apostles, it tells us all the various languages, all the various countries these people came from. There were 3,000 baptized at first Pentecost. And imagine this. They, in turn, returned back to their countries and spread the faith about Christ. They spread Christianity. That's how the Holy Ghost assisted the apostles in order to facilitate the spread of the faith. And the people, they couldn't but help but see the hand of God. How can we understand them when they don't even speak our language, and yet they did? But getting back to the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost, especially those who are going to be confirmed, you already have the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost. You might say, I do. When was that? You received the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost when you were baptized. So when you were baptized, the original sin was washed from your soul. Sanctifying grace came into your soul for the first time. You receive the three theological gifts of three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, and the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost. But as you get confirmed, you're going to get an increase of those gifts. And you're going to get a special sacramental grace to help you to be a soldier of Christ. Let's run through those gifts of the Holy Ghost. The gift of wisdom. The gift of wisdom helps us to appreciate the things of heaven. How does that apply to me? Well, it could be that maybe I have a very important project to do that I want to get done and get it out of the way. But it can wait. But I do need to get my grocery prayed. The gift of wisdom will say, don't worry about it, I'm praying my grocery. Or it could be for children, I want to go out and play. But I was told to clean my room, or mow the lawn, or clean the dishes and put them away, or sweep the floor or vacuum. I want to go out and play, it's a nice day outside. Gift of wisdom helps us to appreciate the things of heaven. God comes first. Then we have the gift of understanding. The gift of understanding helps us to grasp, to lay hold of the truths of our faith, so that we not only understand them or comprehend them ourselves, but we can explain them to others as well. We also have the gift of counsel, knowing the will of God, especially in difficult circumstances. Sometimes things aren't so cut and dry. It's kind of, I wish it was clearer. Then we have the gift of knowledge. The gift of knowledge helps us to use the things of this world for their proper end. We have to live in this world, but we should not be of this world. So we use the things God gives us. We have to live here on earth. We have to eat, we have to sleep, we have to have a house. But it helps us to moderate our use of those things. Now we get to the gift of fortitude. Fortitude strengthens us to do the will of God, especially when it's hard. There are so many examples of the gift of fortitude, but especially when it comes to carrying our cross. Now, I'm going to give this story here, and if I told you the story before, you can say, well, Bishop forgot. But if I come next year and I tell you the exact same story, and the year after I tell you the exact same story, then you know he's losing it, right? And I'm not losing it yet. When I first got to Nebraska, we had developed a really large mass circuit. But I'd fly in on Friday and fly back on Sunday. But everything was timing. You know, if you're late at one place, it could put you off. I mean, I'm talking about Friday, Saturday, Sunday, multiple places to go. I had one more mass to offer, and I was going to fly out of Omaha. And the car I was driving was one of my car. It had a funny gas gauge. No, it wasn't funny. I ran out of gas. I'm about a couple miles from a town called Neely, Nebraska. It's 97 degrees out, hot July afternoon, and I have to hitchhike to get gas. It was a cross. Everybody's just driving right by me. And finally, someone starts to slow down, and I say, yes. I'm hot and sweaty. And it's an elderly woman. I'm going to guess she's probably in her mid-80s. So if any of you are in your mid-80s, forgive me, you are elderly, okay? So I get in the car, and she's driving because I tell her I ran out of gas. She says, okay. And she can barely see over the steering wheel, and she's going about 35 miles an hour on a speed limit that's at least 55 or 60. And everything inside of me is saying, please, hurry up. Could you go a little bit faster? And she's like, I was saying to myself, of all the people to stop, and I'm in the biggest hurry, and she's going 35 miles an hour. And I was thinking, if you don't stress her out, it's better than walking. So we got to Neely, had to buy a gas can, put gas in it. And she comes driving right back 35 miles an hour. Like, so the gift of fortitude helps us to carry our cross. That means sometimes bearing with other people and their idiosyncrasies, as they call them, their faults and failings. And we all got our faults and failings, so right, we carry our cross patiently. Also, strengthens us against temptation. We think of St. Maria Goretti. She would rather die than commit sin. And she was ready to face death than commit sin. We have the gift of piety. It helps us to look upon God as a loving Father in heaven and to respect everything that deals with God. And then finally, we have the gift of fear. The gift of fear is that holy dread. I don't want to offend God. He has been so good to me. He's my loving Father in heaven. We all have those gifts of the Holy Ghost from baptism, and we got an increase of them at confirmation. How good God is, he's ready and willing to help us in so many ways to enlighten our minds and strengthen our wills to know and to do God's will. Help us to get to heaven. And just remember this, as we've said so many times in the past, God chooses the weak and the foolish of this world. When he chose his apostles, they were the least qualified. And why did God do this? He did this because he wanted to show that his church was not the work of man, it was the work of God. And that's how God glories weak, sinful, ignorant human beings do great things for God by the grace of God. So as we get ready to celebrate Pentecost, as we also get ready after Mass to give the sacrament of confirmation, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. Remember, it's all a matter of God's grace. And that's the reason why, if you want to live a holy life, if you want to get to heaven, you got to know it's his grace that's going to get me there. It's his grace that's going to help me keep the commandments. It's his grace that's going to help me overcome temptation. His grace is going to help me practice virtue. That's why we need to pray our prayers well. Pray well. Receive the sacraments frequently. And I like to end on this note. As you know, we have all these restrictions, etc., etc. And in In the beginning, there was a concern because they didn't know enough about this virus. We better be careful. We want to overload our hospital system with having too many people get sick. But now they have a fairly good idea of what's going on and how it's spread, and they do have things under control. And yet they still don't want to open things up. That is a problem. I was talking to our priest in California and the governor of California, Newsom. He was saying the last thing we're opening up is churches. Last thing we're going to do. Oh, you can have tattoo parlors opening up and marijuana shops opening up. Oh, God, essential stuff now. Come on. Alcohol. But don't you open up those churches. That's dangerous. If that isn't from the devil himself, that is just crazy. So listen, is it a concern if you get the virus? Yeah. If you are in the category of being elderly or you have a pre-existing condition, yeah, be careful. It can be deadly. On the other hand, though, for the greater population, you know, if you get this, there's a 99% chance you're going to survive. So that justified shutting the churches down, keep them closed, and get out of that church. You're going to kill people, spread the disease. You have so many other places that are quote-unquote essential, such as stores and other things. So you go to a store, you have people packed in the store, but don't you dare go to church. Well, let us remember this. Our Lord instituted the sacraments for our eternal salvation. Just as we are essentially wanting to get food at the store to eat, to live, we need to come to church and receive the sacraments, to spiritually live, and especially the Holy Eucharist. As our Lord had told us, he who eats this bread shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. We are in some very strange, unusual, and very unstable times for sure. How quickly things have changed. If you're worried or concerned, you should be. Economically and otherwise, it seems like there's things being put in motion that are going to be, how would you say, restricting our ability to go to church and receive the sacraments. But our Lord is ever present on the altar, and our Lord beckons us. Come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So remember, after Mass, after the last Gospel, you put on the coat,